Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun. Hey, welcome everybody to Where To Next here on Live Paranormal. It's Tuesday, May 5th, 2020, and we're going to have a good show tonight. We've got Sharon Lubke from, just lost my mind. Isn't that terrible? I can't think of the mantra's name. I feel terrible right now with that, but for some reason it just slipped my mind all of a sudden, which is pretty easy to do these days. So, we're looking forward to her coming on and talking to us and telling us what's going on there and all. But I kind of want to touch base real quick with something that happened last week, or a couple weeks ago, actually, with the out at Ashmore Estates, where we had some people that broke in. We had 9 individuals. They came into the building, got into the building, and caused some damage as they got in, tore some things up in there, turned off a fire extinguisher, set it loose, and then they left. They decided to beat up on an innocent El Camino that was sitting out there in the parking lot that we used to pick up supplies for the building when we needed, breaking the windshield and the passenger window out in that, and denting the fender. So I know that there's a lot of people right now that are bored, especially the kids at this age, and they've got to realize that you can't do stuff like this. And I know that Waverly Hills was broken into recently, and talked to Tina down there, and she actually held them at gunpoint until the police got there and arrested them. And I think Beatty Mansion was broken into, and there's been a couple other locations that people have broke into, and that's not right. What amazes me is that some of the kids that broke into Ashmore Estates, they were minors, and this was like at 2:30 in the morning. So at 2:30 in the morning, if I was out when I got home, my ass would be beat, and I wouldn't go anywhere for a month at least. So I don't understand how minors are out at 2:30 in the morning right now doing things like that, running around with some kids and doing stuff. So fortunately, the Coles County Sheriff's Department jumped on this, put it out on Facebook, and thankfully with social media and 30 cameras with some great videos, we were actually able to identify the people that broke into the building. And I'm just getting ready to talk to the detective probably the next day or two and discuss what we're going to do with those kids. But there's no hand slapping or participation awards from my end. It'll be whatever we can prosecute, whatever we can do, that's what we're going to do. So it's up to the Coles County Police Department in a way as far as what charges can be brought against them or the state's attorney or however that works. But we're going to do it to the fullest extent of the law. So, you know, they're not going to get away with coming in and tearing things up like that. And I hope other venue owners do the same thing, that people break in. Don't slap their hands because they just figure they can go on to the next place, or they figured out what they did wrong this time so they don't get caught the next time. Unfortunately for them, my new alarm system and additional cameras are in now. And it wasn't in when they broke in, or they would have definitely probably been scared, and police would have been there, and they would have got arrested on the spot. So that didn't happen that time, but it will from now on. And so I'm looking forward to that happening, getting that all up and running and everything there. But I know everybody's kind of anxious to get back to investigating and doing some things, and I'm sure Sharon's going to be opening up McPike Mansion. Yeah, I've got it. It's one of those old age syndrome things. And I think I've been drinking too much disinfectant. She'll be opening up McPike Mansion hopefully soon. We'll find out. And you'll be out investigating and doing some things. But stay safe while you're doing it, because I mean it's still a tough thing right now. I know everybody thinks that some people think it's fake. Some people think it's not as bad as it is. I was kind of flipping through something today on our fire rescue that I'm a member of, and looking at situations that happened, and the firefighters and the paramedics and EMTs that have died from this. I mean, it's almost like it's close to one a day that's reported on the site that I'm on. So it's kind of uneasy with things. I mean, these guys are going out there as first responders. They're into it all the time. So you know that the doctors in the hospitals with the nurses and everything, it's got to be tough. And so just keep that in mind. Just don't go out there and just run around haphazardly as soon as they start opening some things up, because it's still going to be there and people are still going to get sick. And if it gets worse, it's just going to turn around and everybody's locked down again. And so we don't want that. We want to be able to enjoy some of this rest of the little bit of spring we've got left before summer. So just be cautious when you're out doing things, and it'll all work out. So let's get Sharon in here and talk about Mike Manchin and see what's happening over there. Sharon, you with me?
I am.
Great. Thanks for coming on tonight, and I appreciate it. And yeah, for some reason, you had those times where your brain just goes dead, and I couldn't think of Mike Manchin for nothing. And I'm like, I can see the building. I can see it down there. Where it's at. Why can't I can't think of the name? But yeah, it was one of those nights.
That's okay. I have those myself. Senior moment.
Yeah, exactly. And they become closer and closer together, it seems like. So you're in with Mike Manchin in Alton, Illinois. And so tell us just a little bit about yourself personally.
Personally, I'm a physical education teacher, and I grew up in Chicago, Illinois, on the north side. I went to college in Greenville, Illinois, and never ended up going back to Chicago. I stayed down here and started teaching. So got married in 71, had a couple children, did part-time teaching for a long, long time, like 17 or 18 years, and then finally went back to some full-time teaching.
So you're from
there
Chicago.
You have it.
From the north side of Chicago, so were you a Cubs fan or White Sox fan or baseball fan, or not at all?
My dad was a White Sox fan, but he always listened to both games. So, but his first pick was the White Sox, Chicago White Sox, but he did listen to, sometimes he'd have both games on at one time. I don't know how he did that, but he did. So...
Sometimes it's just that talent you have to take so you can listen to everything you want to listen to.
He did. He was talented that way. But anyway, I don't know. I guess I'd have to say I was a White Sox fan. But now, the Cubs are in the big – they're rivals with the St. Louis Cardinals. So, of course, now I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan. So.
Well, we all make mistakes in our life. So tell us, how did you get, how did you end up with Mike Manchin? How did you get the location there?
The summer our daughter was a freshman in high school, and she was taking a summer school class. We kept driving past it, actually on 20th Street, and kept seeing the auction sign. So the day of the auction, I called George and said, honey, come on home. I want to go to this auction. Now, mind you, as our children were growing up, my husband used to call this the Scooby-Doo House of Alton, actually. And but anyway, so that day I called him and said, oh, come on home. I want to go to this auction. He did not know I had any intention of bidding on this house at all. In my mind, I said, our house is worth so much. I can bid so much. So when they lowered the bid to $25,000, I started raising my hand, and we won the bid at $42,000. And our daughter, who was with us at the time, said, Mom, do you realize what you just did? We're going to eat bread and water for the next 10 years, and I will not get to go to college. So I'll say the good news is she's done with college, and we only eat bread and water on Wednesdays now.
There you go. You had it all figured out. It's just one day a week. They can give up one day a week. That's not a big deal.
So that's how we bought it. It was very impulsive. I don't think I ever thought we would be living in it. It was more I don't know. We've always had the intention, I think, of keeping it open to the public, that it's a part of Alton's history, not our history, you know. So that was always our intention. If we ever would get it finished enough, we would probably have a bed and breakfast on the second floor, keep the first floor open for special events and things like that.
Now, you're not living in the house now, though, right?
No, the mansion is still condemned, actually. So we live next door. There are literally floors that are not very good. We have spent over $200,000 in repairs. We've done a lot of major things, you know, roof, tack pointing, that kind of thing, stabilizing. We have one more outside big major project, which is to close it up at the top, like the soffit and that. And then we will go inside and start working inside. So, and hopefully
like
that's
busy.
The deal. Oh, yes. Well, it'll be, yes. Yes, it does keep us busy. Yes, even the yard work keeps us busy.
Was it condemned when you guys bought it at the auction?
No, it was not condemned, or we would not have bought it. So we bought it in 94, and in 1998, the city condemned the building. And that was the year we had the architectural assessment done. And at that point, they said it would cost $1.8 million to restore. So that was in 1998.
Wow. Yeah, that's gonna be a lot more money than today's world out there.
Right. You know, I was pretty young at the time and was pretty pie in the sky and thought, well, you know, that's if we do none of the work ourselves. And we have obviously we did not do the roof we had, but we did have one roofer. And then we were still young enough to be the laborers at that point, as far as carrying shingles up to the top and different things like that up to the third floor. So we were still young and strong.
There you go. So how did you figure out that the McPike Mansion was haunted? Did you know that during the auction, or is it just something you kind of learned as you went along?
No, I didn't know it at the auction. But like about 4 days after the auction, I don't know if this girl called me or what. I think she called me and said, you know, it's haunted. And if, you know, if the spirits are already bothering you, you know, that's not a good thing. I mean, I am really a big chicken. I don't watch scary stuff or anything. So I was kind of freaked out, honestly and truly. And then somebody said, we'll get a hold of Antoinette Eason. Because the year before they had done like a haunted history tour, you know, and the house was on the tour. So I did get a hold of her. And so we did like a cleansing like a house blessing, that type of thing. You know, it was a 3-step process, but we did do all that. And then I had a good friend also, who I would say knew more about the spirit world than I did. So I eventually calmed down.
So you kind of got into the paranormal by mistake in a way, then, by buying a place that was haunted that you didn't realize, and it just kind of kept you going with it then.
Right. It was definitely a mistake. I mean, I didn't know it was haunted. I was so kind of like freaked out that I would go into the house. This is during the daytime, mind you, and I would literally say outside, say in the house, listen, you guys, if you want this house fixed up, you better not scare me, because if you scare me, I'm out of here. So I said that more than one time, actually. But I've never had anything bad happen to me.
No, I can understand that completely. Yeah, I've done some of the same type of stuff there at Ashmore out there. Just tell me, hey, I'm here to make the place better. You know, just leave me alone. Let me do this stuff. So, have you ever had an experience that you've kind of like been basically had to leave the house or anything?
I wouldn't say. I think I would say that I've had probably a couple experiences that were unnerving. And one of them was years ago when I had like a bunch of fifth or sixth graders who were down in the cellar, and there were some of their parents there, and I had asked the spirits to join us on the cellar. And we were down there, and all of a sudden we heard this very, very loud, like the door slammed or somebody threw something against the door. And so it was very unnerving. And I said, oh, spirits, I would appreciate it if you would not be so loud. Now, inside, I was, like, ready to run out the door. I didn't do that, but I was ready. The other thing that happened was really after Ghost Adventures were here. And I don't know, I just had a sense that, you know, they don't really believe in smudging or anything like that. So I felt like they had brought something with them. And like they were here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And on Saturday we had a tour, and there was a young girl, like probably 12 or 13 on that tour. And I had asked Andy to come early because I said, I just had a feeling about it. I said, let's go through the house and smudge it, you know, before we have the tour, which we did. But anyway, this young lady did not have a great experience. And so after that, then we smudged it a whole bunch more. We haven't had any incidents since then. I just felt like they brought something with them and left it, honestly.
Yeah, that, I've always kind of wondered the same thing, because as many things as they run into that are dark entities that they talk about, it just makes you wonder that something's just following them around and going every place with them, compared to just having that type of experience at each location they're at.
Right. Sandy did try to, you know, say something to Zach about smudging him or whatever, and he wouldn't have any part of that. They actually had to be very, very careful in the building because, like I said, of the floors, they did have to be very careful. You know, and they had to get permission from the city and all that, so.
So the city allowed them to go ahead and go through the building itself then for the show?
Yes, yes. We always have to get permission, like, for like that. We always have to have permission. They have to show proof of insurance, and they have to jump through a few hoops in order to do that.
Yep. Well, that's good. I mean, you need to do that. They need to, the city wants to make sure that they don't run into issues and all, you know, that kind of backlashes on them as well. So,
right.
So since you talked about, a little bit about Ghost Adventures, I know that you that wasn't necessarily the best experience, but did you get a chance to meet those guys and work with them a little bit? And how'd that go?
Yeah, I do want to say that their crew was awesome. They were so nice to us. They really were. And Dakota and Billy and Aaron, they were all very nice. I think that was the only three that was here, and Zach, of course. And, you know, Zach is the boss. I wouldn't say he was rude or anything like that. You know, it's that he's the boss. And so, you know, he wants things to run smoothly. As far as, anyway, they were great that way. As far as how they portrayed McPike Mansion, I just think they took a few bits of information, which were the truth, and exaggerated them a whole bunch, and made it seem like there were demons here, and there are no demons here. We've never had bad things happen to us, or, you know, my grandchildren have always played over there in the yard. Jerome Minx did not morph into a demon. So, but were they nice? Yes, they were nice.
Yeah, I think you have to sometimes sit back and realize that it's all going to be it's a TV show, and that's what they're going to do, and you know, and you just kind of like let it go. And anybody that knows Mike Manchin knows that you've done a lot out there, and you've got the younger people that come out there, and that you wouldn't be doing that, like you said, your grandkids are out there, and you wouldn't be allowing that if you'd done something evil inside the building.
Exactly, that's exactly the truth.
So I mentioned earlier it was in Alton, Illinois, but tell us a little bit about the location and the history of the McPike Mansion itself.
Okay, well, originally McPike Mansion was not in city limits. City limits only went up to 18th Street, and so it really was a country estate. There was originally 15 to 23 acres here. It was called Mount Lookout Park, which is how it's registered in the National Historic, you know, site. You'd have to look at Mount Lookout. So it was called Mount Lookout Park. It is on one of the higher elevations of Alton. Henry was an horticulturist, so he had orchards and vineyards here. He developed and patented the McPike grape that was sold throughout the United States. He was really a very community-minded person, and he was mayor of Alton for a couple terms. But at any rate, he had the house built in 1869, and it took 2 to 3 years to be built. And I'm sure they had very lovely parties here and, you know, on the grounds and in the house.
Now, back when that was built, it was probably one of the more expensive homes in Alton area, wasn't it?
Oh, I would think so. I would think so, yes. Henry made his money in real estate. The Honorable H.G. McPike, he made his money in real estate. And I've been told at one point he owned over 700 pieces of property in the city of Alton. He also had 2 fire insurance companies. He originally came here in 1847 with his parents, John Mountain and Lydia Guest McPike, and he became recorder of deeds around the early 1850s. So at that point, he knew what was being bought and sold. So I think that's kind of how he got into the real estate business, first with Mr. Shodo and then later with Mr. Newman.
So you have a real estate tycoon that had a nice location there. I mean, it looks like he was probably involved with real estate because it's a beautiful home. And you know, do you have some photos and things like that of the inside of what it would look like back in the time, or are those not around?
I do not have photos of the inside. I only have a couple photos of the inside during what I would consider Henry's time. I have a few photos of the inside when Washington's lived there. Or when John Haley lived there. Anyway, I do have a few photos that way, but no one seems to have a picture of the staircase, which we would love to have. But anyway, it is 3 stories high, and each floor is 12 foot, and then 11 foot. So the 3rd floor was actually, you know, rooms up there.
Just their family lived there, or is it what did they do? Just their whole family just lived in that house?
I think so, yeah. I think it was just their family. And when Henry moved there, actually, he still had 3 young children that, you know, that lived there. And I'm assuming that maybe the 3rd floor was maybe some of the domestic help stayed on the 3rd floor. Also, I'm not sure if the children were homeschooled part of the time when they were very young, but I'm thinking their children were like 12 and maybe 8 and 5. I'd have to go back and look that up. But, you know, they were still young, so there was still family there.
What's the address of the location there now?
It's actually 2018 Alvey Street. And interestingly enough, a friend of mine who is a former nun told me that the numbers add up to 11, which is a high spiritual number. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it would be kind of interesting thing, you know, with the numbers like that. So with the now you've been doing some renovation work there, so you're continuing doing some more renovation. Anything? What have you guys got planned to renovate this year?
Well, we really thought we'd be started on this underhang right now. I mean, Eric and Claire have like cut almost all the boards that need to, you know, the different cuts. There's different cuts that have to go up there. So all that's been cut and primed and painted, you know, so we want to get everything done before we get up there 40 feet in the air. And then, you know, so we can just put it all in place. That's our idea. But, of course, the virus came along, so
yeah,
no one's working at the moment.
Yeah, that kind of put everything on the back shelf anyway. So are you guys still doing most of it yourselves or got some help from some volunteers or how do you do it?
Well, Eric Lavelle is our contractor and his daughter is like his, apprentice. And then we probably will have to get extra help for this because George and I really aren't young anymore, so we probably won't be getting up that high anymore.
Yeah, that's a little ways in the air if you got to go about 40 feet to work on it. Ashmore is about 30 to 33 feet. I got to go up and do stuff in there, and it gets a little bit interesting sometimes working out of the bucket truck up there.
Right, and so we have to be really careful. I mean, when we did the roof, you know, that was in 2001, 2002, so we were quite a bit younger, and, you know, I went out on the roof many times, actually, and helping out there, but, you know, that's a little bit different. So we have to find somebody, and we have to make sure that, you know, they're insured and this type of thing. So, and I will be glad when that's done because that's kind of the last high thing that we have to do.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. Now, you said it's three stories, but how many square feet is the mansion itself?
It's 7,000 square feet. It's got 10 fireplaces in it. And I'm assuming they might have used stoves on the third floor. Or that's what it appears like, that they had stoves on the third floor?
They probably use those for heating.
Right, I think so.
Right, yep, yeah, the old wood stoves or coal stoves that they used to warm the places up. So when you guys have been renovating, have you found anything interesting, like laying around inside the walls or anything like that at all?
No, the only thing that I can't say we found anything at this point in the walls. Someone did find a 1903 dime, a friend, in the cellar when we were doing the sunroom on the outside. We found some animal skeletons between the walls. Actually, it was a bird, and actually, I would say a mother bird and a baby bird, and they somehow must have got caught in there and weren't able to get out. But no, nothing too interesting at this point.
Well, sooner or later, maybe you'll come across something there. So,
I hope so.
I don't know if you did some investigations or anything like that before it was condemned at all. But has there been a lot of paranormal activity inside the actual mansion itself?
Yes, actually there is. And you know, people say, "Well, why did they come to the cellar?" Well, it's really because we asked them to come down the cellar because, you know, actually, we used to, before I gave tours up until, I want to say 2002, and so inside the house. So, you know, the tours actually went throughout the house up until that time. And, yeah, people saw things or people were touched. So, you know, again, we asked them to come down in the cellar now because we can't go throughout the house. But, yeah, there were some very pretty interesting things that happened. when we could go through the whole house. And also now I was going to say about this, there was a investigative group, and I can't remember the names. I want to say Crawford County, but I'm not sure that's correct. But they came in January, and they just had like a voice box, or they just were actually, they were in the cellar, and then actually right, just right inside the front door, you know, because they couldn't go anywhere else because of safety. But they got some pretty interesting stuff. They really did.
Now, you had a couple of guys I know, Barry and Brad Kling, were out there with Ghost Lab. That's been quite a few years ago. They were actually the first ones that investigated the place as far as TV goes, weren't they?
No, actually, back in 2000, Nash Entertainment came, and they were the ones that did. That was our very, very first TV thing, and it was for World's Scariest Places. And then I think they ended up selling that footage or part of that footage to whoever. And then it was like Scariest Places on Earth. But we were on several TV shows, Fact or Fiction. Rene Cruz came out a couple different times. I'm trying to think of we were on the Travel Channel previously. So there were a couple other ones. Actually, the first one, like I said, was in 2000 with Nash Entertainment.
So it's been on TV a few times then with different people and all.
Yeah, it has. It has. I'm trying to think of the other groups, Facts or Fiction. Oh, Real Scary Stories. That was kind of interesting. They had three students, actually two of them were two of my students, but I didn't know that at the time. I mean, I didn't know they were going to choose them. And so they each got a miner's cap and a light, and they each had to draw straws. And the girl got going into the cellar. And this, of course, was at night. And then one of the boys, the second floor, third floor, but anyway, the girl had to go down the cellar, and she had her name called to her.
So yeah, that probably kind of freaked her out a little bit. Have you had a lot of experiences in the cellar area? I may have lost Sharon. Like she's still there, but I kind of lost her. Sharon, if you can hear me, you may have to have you call back in, because I can't hear you at all now. So if you hear me, just give me a buzz back. Hey, well, we're gonna wait and see if we can connect back up with Sharon. It seems like we've been having some problems with not so much with the live paranormal, but for some reason every once in a while we get cut off here. So I think she's back with us now. Hold on a second.
Yeah, I am. I don't know what happened,
okay,
but yes, I'm back.
Hey, you know, that's the third time on a radio show that all of a sudden we've had lost power, or we've lost connections or something, and everything was working fine. Then all of a sudden stuff stopped. So, you know, being here in the old R Theater building, who knows what's going to happen from this end here. And you're right next door to, you know, McPike Mansion. So, yeah, we've got the worst of both worlds, basically.
Well, you know, sometimes they don't always like what you say.
You guys are doing, basically you're doing investigations in the cellar. And how's that working in there? How do you guys do that?
The way we do it is they can come between 5 and 6 in the evening, and they can stay till 12:30 or 1, and then they can go in the cellar, or like I said, we can open the front door, and they could just be right inside the front door, or the grounds too. There's different EVPs and things that people have picked up, you know, right around the outside of the house. But at any rate, it's a minimum charge of $150, which would be for five people. It's really $30 a piece. So if there were six people, it would be $180. But so that's correct. You can have up to five people for $150.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep,
yeah.
Gotcha. $30 a piece, minimum charge of $150. So, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, how many people can you actually put in the cellar?
We fit a lot of, like at Halloween time, we probably fit 50 people in the cellar. It's very crowded, but we have done that, between 40 and 50 people. We have actually done that. I mean, it's better if you have less, but, you know, this is for a tour I'm talking about, actually. So towards Halloween, it usually gets pretty busy. And so we just try to accommodate everybody. And I have to say we had awesome groups last year. Really, we did. They were awesome.
Now you guys do some camping on the grounds there and all, too, don't you?
Yeah, we have a camp out usually the third weekend in October. And I think it's $30 a person this year. And I'm not sure if this will or will not be our last camp out. I mean, George and I are just getting older. And we've done these campouts since 1998, so that's a lot of campouts, actually. But we always have a good time. I want to say that. We have a DJ, and our tradition is to, at 10 o'clock when the DJ has to stop, we do the electric slide to Ghostbusters, so that's one of our traditions. We have, you know, of course, everybody gets to go in the cellar, and we also do a late-night session, like 12 or 1 o'clock. So they get to go in the cellar a couple times. And we have food, chili, you know, hot dogs, marshmallows, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of food. We do say no alcohol. But like I said, we've always had nice groups of people, actually. And some people have come for many, many years. So.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people post that they've gone there and they've experienced the you know, they've camped out in the yard and everything there. So that's kind of cool that you're able to do that and continuously doing it, too. So have you got anybody that's made every one of them besides yourselves?
Have I what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Have you had somebody that's been to, like, every one of them or almost all of them besides yourself?
I don't know that everyone, but I think Bo and her group has come 10 years. I think last year was their 10th year.
Yeah, so that sounds, they've been there quite a few times then, so that's cool. Yeah, they must
yeah.
enjoy it and have a good time with it.
They do, and they all get pictures and things like that. They get some spirit pictures and some EVPs and things, and I think that sometimes spirits join them in the yard, and we have a couple children spirits too, so I think that sometimes they do a little pranking, actually.
Now, do you guys do some public events there, like, you know, that the public can come out, you know, that they don't have to book it for everybody, that, you know, you just, like, you can just show up by yourself and go to a public event?
Oh, yeah,
there.
You can come. Yeah, like, we've already had, you know, one, as the weather gets warmer again, I mean, people stop by on a pretty regular basis. We don't charge for that. You know, they can just come and take some pictures and walk around the outside of the building and, you know, if I'm here or if we're home and we try to accommodate and talk to them or answer their questions, you know, and we don't really charge for that.
Is it the location, is it rented out quite a bit or is there still a lot of openings?
You mean as far as investigation?
Right.
Well, I think with the virus and everything, you know, people have kind of been real hesitant. But I suspect, like we had that one in January, and I've had a couple people call me to do investigations. But then again, with the virus, nobody knows exactly what's going to happen and how, you know. And we didn't do our April tour or May tour. We usually do them once a month until October, which we do 10 tours in the camp out then. So in June, you know, we'll do some stuff with Troy Taylor and have a tour if the state allows that. In July, we always have our happy birthday party tour for Henry because his birthday is July 6th. So through Sammy's channeling, we found out that he likes sponge cake and strawberries for his birthday. So that's what we always serve at that tour.
That works. Yeah, it sounds like from listening to the governor a little bit today that be able to open things up a little bit more, probably like June 1st, and do some things with like some groups of 10 and less or something like that, or close to that number anyway.
Right. I mean, I think that, you know, we just have to all be careful and try to be safe and, you know, and Sandy Corbin is our medium. So she's at risk too, because she's older, so we just all kind of have to be careful on this end, really.
Yeah, I think everybody's going to have to be. I mean, we used to go in these older buildings, and you start worrying about, you know, the dust and the black mold and stuff like that. Now you got to go out there and worry about, you know, getting COVID-19 as well. So it'll be just kind of a fun experience. Now you're kind of leaning around your shoulder, making sure nobody's close to you and everything the entire time you're there.
Right. I think it's going to be an interesting year, actually. And it's funny because I feel like the spirits actually get kind of lonely during the wintertime. And so they really enjoy when people come. And so I'm sure, you know, in a way it's probably kind of hard on them right now. Also, they think they're probably kind of lonely. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I do think that.
I agree with you. I think that they kind of get used to it after a while, that the people showing up in the building and probably having a good time with them. I mean, even they may be sitting back laughing at us all the time in there, that they're doing certain things or saying things. But I think they enjoy it. I think we're their entertainment, just like they're our entertainment.
Right. I was going to say the same thing. Yes, I think they're probably going, oh, my. And
yeah,
laughing themselves.
Yep, they get bored with things, and you know, they just have a good time with it. But now, when you have private groups come out there for the cellar and all, there, do you guys have certain rules they have to follow, or is there anything particular that they can or can't do in there?
Like for the campout, we do say no drinking for the campout, or no alcohol allowed, because you know, when you're drinking, you're actually more vulnerable to the spirit world and more open, and so we are real careful about that. You know, I think that's probably the main thing, is that, and Henry doesn't like that, so we just don't allow it.
Have you had anybody that ever spent the night in the cellar?
Yes, years ago. Yes, there was, I don't know, four people or something. They were supposed to spend the night. And even in May, it just got so cold in there. We had to put a heater in there. And so I don't remember that anything bad happened or anything like that. It was just very cold and that type of thing. But I do want to say, what did you say?
No, that's right. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, like, we've had the local radio, you know, like, from Lewis and Clark came out. They came out several years. And we told them, you know, like, don't try to bring up personal things with the spirits or, you know, push them in any way, because they don't like that. And one guy didn't listen. And, you know, they didn't do anything really bad, but they made him really, really cold and uncomfortable. They did do that. And I think when the Kling brothers were here, I don't think they liked them very well. I think they told them to get out.
Oh, really? So
Yeah.
Brad's pretty loud, and sometimes he's taken wrong, but he's pretty loud when he's investigating.
Right, and I think that, you know, there are certain people they're just really okay about, you know, like over the years, you know, people have come to investigate And I don't know, there's just certain people they're very comfortable with, and I think that they know that they're not there to provoke them or anything like that. And then there's other people that they're like, get out. Seriously.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I think a lot of it just depends on the person coming in too. Is like, you know, are they here to have a good time, or are they just here to try to harass me as a spirit, or what is their intentions? And if they got the wrong intentions, I don't think spirits will even bother with them.
Right. And I mean, like I said, we've had really good groups on tours, and sometimes young people ask really good questions. You know, we've had like young people ask about, like, did he play baseball? I mean, things like that, you know, that are pretty common. Did he ride a bike, you know, and we've asked about marbles, and then Sandy has all of a sudden done research about things and looked it up for the time period, you know, so that kind of stuff is, I think, very, very interesting.
The cellar itself, do you know what it was used for back in the time that they lived there?
Well, actually, it was a wine cellar. That is really what it was. And according to what Robert Growl told me, who was a photographer for the newspaper, there was a press room and a bottling room in the cellar. So I'm assuming that they did cooking down there, you know, like with the grapes and stuff. And so he made his own wine, or they made wine there and bottled it, so it actually was used as a wine cellar.
Okay, well, that kind of can make sense. It looks like it's a pretty good-sized area anyway from the pictures that I've seen.
Yeah, it is. It's like 13 by 30. It's pretty big.
Yeah, especially if you got chairs down there for everybody that can sit down there and kind of enjoy the night while they're, you know, doing a little investigating in the room.
Right. Another thing is, you know, there's always been rumor that it was on the Underground Railroad. It was built after the Civil War, but again, I've had several people tell me that there was a passageway. A gentleman called me years ago and said that Paul Oeschinger, he and Shiggy were the last people to actually live in the house, that he said there was a passageway there that he was afraid to go in for fear it would fall on him. Officer Warlick used to play over here when he was a boy, because they lived across the street, and he and his brother, he's telling that. He also said that there was a small graveyard in the back, not just that one grave, but there was actually a graveyard with four or five graves. So I'm kind of assuming that, you know, Henry had to buy several parcels of property to get this much property. So I'm kind of assuming that it was probably a graveyard of a family that lived on the property.
Yeah, it might have been.
I guess. Yeah.
Course,
but I do know that there was a graveyard. Pardon?
Yeah, back then, at that time frame, they usually kind of, I mean, a lot of times it wasn't unusual to bury their own family, you know, on the property itself.
Right, exactly. That was very acceptable. That was very acceptable.
Now, what's the best way if somebody wants to contact you to set up investigations and, you know, look at booking the place here in the very near future? How do they do that?
They can just call me on my cell phone, and so it's or they could text me, but my cell phone number is 618-830-2179.
Okay, so if you got that, it's 618-830-2179. So
right.
You can get a hold of Sharon and set up a date to come out there and investigate McPike Mansion and enjoy the evening there. Now, I was going to ask you, too, you recently had somebody that was related to the McPikes that visited you, didn't you?
Yeah, actually, there are still McPikes that live in town, and Tim McPike stopped by really often, but another gentleman came by who was out of town. So yeah, there's actually been several McPike family members live here, and actually, I have to figure this out in my mind,
but Eric Brown is related to Mukai Kings in California, so he's had his family here. So it's always interesting. Like I said, there are several McKay's that live around town. The former representative, Jim McKay, his daughter, you know, Tim McKay. So we have some really good conversations. And sometimes people ask me of things, you know, I have been touched in the cellar. Like I've had, I think it was Mary who put her hand on my shoulder. And then I also had my cheek touched. You know, I did see the man in the window about 7 weeks after we bought the house. And I think that was Paul Loschiger. But, so, yes, but I've never had anything bad happen to me.
Nope, doesn't sound like that. And you guys are doing the right thing with the house, trying to reconstruct it and get it put back together and everything. And so I think they probably know that, too, and they're going to leave you alone and let you do what you got to do.
Right, and one of these days I'm gonna come down to Ashmore.
Yeah, you'll have to get out there sometime and visit us.
Maybe I can come with Bo or something. You know Bo Murray, right?
Oh sure, yep.
Yeah, well, she's a good friend.
Yeah, she's been out there
friend.
A few times. Yep.
Yeah, she's the one here. Yeah, she's come 10 years to the camp out. She and her group.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's been to Ashmore. I know she thinks highly of McPike Mansion because I know she hangs out there quite a bit.
Yep, I appreciate that a lot. So I'm trying to think. I'll probably get off of here and think, oh, I should have said this or I should have said that. But
I always think of that.
You know, I mean, I'm sure like you, you've done a lot of research, and we have too. And then I think the more you find out, the more questions you have. You know, there's always something to research. You know, Jerome did a lot of research on the McPike Island, and Sue Brown and Sandy, various people really have. And myself, you know, we've all done various parts of research. So we try to, you know, have our facts as honest as we can. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Right. Yep, I mean, that's all you can do, because you can't, you know, you try to find everything you can, but then you can only do so much. And I used to go through newspapers.com, I think it was, quite a bit, and look for things there, and for old articles on the location.
I'll have to try that myself. So, but anyway, I really appreciate that you invited me on. It also makes me a little nervous to do this kind of thing. So I do appreciate it. And
no problem. I appreciate you coming out and spending the night with us. So
yeah, do you have any other questions? Or like I said, I'm trying to think of maybe some other experiences. I think that for myself, this is kind of the conclusion that I came to, that if I hear something three times and the other person doesn't know, you know, someone else said it, but I will consider that there's some validity to what they're saying. And that's kind of how I've done it throughout the years. You know, when we used to give the tours, we would talk about, I have had deja vu in the house twice, and actually both times was with my friend Sue Brown. One time we were up on the third floor looking out the back window, which I like to do that because it looks out on the woods. But I just like felt I had done that before with her. And interestingly enough, another friend, Linda Houle, was videotaping standing there. And when she went back, there was nothing on the videotape, nothing. But the other thing was, I don't know, there's... I want to say this story about a lady that got pushed down the back stairs. And, you know, I always tell people, can I prove that? No, I cannot prove that. I've heard that enough by some psychics that I do believe that. But I was on those back stairs one day, and or on the landing, and my friend Sue Brown was probably 6 feet from me, I don't know, and I got a really kind of weird feeling, and I said, I have to move, because I felt like I was going to get pushed down the stairs. And my friend Sue said, well, I'm not going to push you, and I went, well, no, I know you're not. But what I felt like, there probably had been two people arguing on that landing, and, you know, tempers flared, and somebody got pushed. Now,
right.
Again, can I prove that? No. No, I can't. So.
Sometimes those things just kind of come to you, and you just figure that there's something there, so.
Right. Right. But, I think so, too.
Well, I'm going to... We'll let you get off for the evening, but unless you got something else you want to kind of let us know about.
I don't know, Terry, what Robin. Actually, I said the wrong Robin. When I say that, I Terry Robin, right? Is that correct?
No, it's Robin. Robin's first name.
All right. So
yep.
Okay. So I'm sorry. See, now I am embarrassed, but okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Heck, at least you remember the name. I forgot the Mike Nancy name when I first got on here, and I was like, why am I brain dead? But that happens. So
well, we all
I get caught a lot of stuff.
Anyway, no, I just want to say that I think probably for me, and I say this all the time, the nicest thing, and maybe you feel this way too about Ashmore Estates, but the nicest thing about owning the Pike Mansion is meeting all the nice people. And I have met a lot of people from all over the world, all over the United States. You know, that's been pretty exciting, really.
Yeah, that's usually the best part.
Right, I think it's the best part. And the one thing I do want to say about Henry, too, is that he was on the committee to bring the Lincoln Douglas debate here in 1858, and he did sit on the platform with Abraham Lincoln as the Republican representative. And he and Mr. Trumbull were up in Springfield when Abraham Lincoln, in the telegraph room, when Abraham Lincoln found out that he had become president. So there's room. Yeah, it's cool. There's a lot of history here. So it's always fun. It's always interesting. And it's always nice to meet everybody.
Yep, that's it. Sounds like it'd be a kind of a fun place to hang out. So, but yeah, if you're interested in getting some tours or the investigations there at McPike, make sure you get a hold of Sharon and or check it out on Facebook. You can catch McPike Mansion on Facebook as well, or look up their website and book a date with Sharon and get out there and enjoy McPike Mansion in Alton, Illinois.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
Sharon, thanks much for joining us tonight. Have a wonderful evening.
All right, you too then.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So I thank Sharon for coming on tonight and sharing McPike Mansion with us. And if you have not had a chance to, get down to Alton, Illinois and enjoy McPike Mansion as what some of the work that she's done to try to save that location. She's put a lot of money into it. So give her a chance to get out there and see the place and have a good time with it. Locations are going to start booking sometime here soon. I know Rhodes Hotel, Atlanta, Indiana, that kind of involved with over there. They're going to be booking places or booking investigations here very soon. So if you want to book something at the Rhodes Hotel, get a hold of Crystal Couch and just give her a hard time. And, just because that's what I do, and I enjoy giving her a hard time. But check out the Facebook page or RhodesHotel.com, and you can book some investigations upcoming there. And it'll be a lot of fun. You'll have a good time there. Or Ashmore States. We've still got some dates that are open there on weekends, quite a few dates on the weekdays. So. Join us at Ashmore States at ashmorestates.net, or check out Facebook page at Ashmore States or at Rhodes Hotel. So hope you have a good time wherever you're at and wherever you're investigating here in the next weeks or months or the rest of this year. And hopefully everybody stay safe and do that social distancing thing so we can all enjoy the rest of the year. Have a good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you in 2 weeks. Good night.